Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, question on the text page. Let me pull this up here. This is for Seth.
Oh.
Says Seth. We'll get to the D'Amico cut that correlates and ties directly to this question.
Mm-hmm.
But Damian Pierce has been a big topic on the show this week and today. We had Nick Caserio on earlier today at 7:30. We talked to him for 45 minutes. You can get that interview on the Odyssey app, on the podcast for Payne and Pendergast. We talked about Damian Pierce with Nick. And the texter says, Seth, please explain what Damian was thinking when he tried a goal line dive over the pile when it was second and seven at midfield. I cannot take anyone serious that wants to keep promoting DP as a good back because of that play right there.
If I remember correctly, was that one of the Kendrick Green experiments? Kendrick Green at fullback?
It may have been.
I'll pull that up, but, as far as Kendrick Green at fullback, let the listeners decide. Does it sound like D'Amico Ryans was happy with the experiment at Kendrick Green at fullback? Where this question was asked basically like, hey, wasn't it awesome that Kendrick Green played fullback? Okay. Do you have more guys asking to play fullback now?
Kendrick did an okay job stepping in there fullback, little wrinkle for us on the offensive side, but he did a good job with it.
Yeah. 8 seconds. 8 seconds. You that answer was just enough time to get thrown off a bull at the rodeo right there. That was
the biggest thing for Kendrick Green at fullback that I can say about that experiment was if they were doing it to set up something in the future, then okay. Then maybe it'll pay some dividends, but no, he wasn't. Now there was the play I was thinking of. It was at the 1 yard line, but by the time it was at the 1 yard line on the goal line, Kendrick Green was at fullback, and Damian did jump at like the 3 yard line and never got past the 3 yard line.
Yeah,
he just that was the end.
This
of it.
Was
oh no, no, no! That was the Joe Mixon one where it made it look like he was at the boomerang effect on TikTok.
Yeah,
like he went over and then back, and then back. Yeah,
yes, boomerang effect. Yeah,
yeah.
No, Damian's was like well between the 20s somewhere. It was like at midfield, and he just like I remember looking around. We were watching it up here. Me and Clint and Parker. Reggie, we're all watching it up here. We're looking at each other like, did he just do a goal line dive on second and seven at like the 40 or something? It was just strange.
Yeah. I'll go for run stuff. So, no, I don't think the problem with Kendrick Green at fullback is that he's not nearly as fast as most fullbacks. And this is one of those things, kinds of like the whams and the traps that were successful. Yeah, it might be nice every now and then as a rhythm changer, but it can't be a staple of the offense mm-hmm. because he's just not that good at it, and I don't think he's physiologically capable of being that good at it. These linebackers saw Kendrick Green, and they all just submarined him. And you might think, oh, okay, well, that's something to run around. No, the problem is that you've got, instead of a 450-pound mound of humanity in front of the running back, you've then got a 550-pound mound of humanity at the feet of the fullback, and the pile is created way behind the line of scrimmage because he's not getting up there as fast. I went back and watched them on Monday, all the Kendrick Green fullback snaps, and yeah. I think they were universally ugly and bad.
Yeah, do you think they're doing that as like a wrinkle, or do you think they're doing it out of desperation? Because they don't have a fullback on the roster right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Otherwise, Kendrick Green
British
wouldn't have been in there playing fullback.
British Brooks is, has played fullback for them, so there's that.
But he's injured. He's
right,
on IR.
Right. Yeah. So right on the active roster now, they've just got tight ends masquerading as it.
Do they need a fullback? Do you think, is that something they should look for at the trade deadline? You can probably get one fairly cheap.
You can find one. There's only like seven in existence.
That's true. It's like a dodo bird or a dinosaur, yeah.
And it's one of these things, too. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because there's no good fullbacks out there. So a team will try Kendrick Green at fullback, and they'll say, yep, see that? Nobody can play fullback. Like, yeah. Like, man, I don't know. Maybe if he got thousands of reps mm-hmm. from high school through college into it, then maybe he could play fullback.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a hard position to play. It's really, really hard to play fullback well. So, I don't know. I wouldn't hold your breath for
it. I Googled most endangered animals right now.
Yeah.
Fullback is not in the top 10. I've got the 10 most right here.
When is Fullback Appreciation Day? There's got to be a Fullback Appreciation Day.
There should be. Yeah, I'll look that up on our list of days. If not, we need to start one. I think that would be that would be quite the audience to build right there, people who are pro-fullback. The African forest elephant. Rhinos are among the most endangered. Wow, the black rhino. Lemurs. Brown spider monkeys. In danger?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Brown spider monkeys,
I wonder
man.
Why there are people eating them for food?
I don't know.
Seems like it'd be a lot of work. It seems like a spider monkey would be like crawfish.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I've been eating spider monkeys all afternoon, and I'm still hungry.
I'm swollen from all the salt in these spider monkeys.
I'm not afraid of people's criticism either. I'll wear gloves when I'm eating the spider monkeys. Yeah. It gets messy. You try to suck out the juices from their skull and everything.
African wild dog. There's a lot of these here. All right, let's say
African
that
wild me. Dog is what John Mechie credits for why he's fast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. No, it said when they were living in
Ghana.
Where did he grow up? There were actual wild dogs and that he'd be like in the neighborhood and you'd have to run from them, and yep. That's where he got fast.
That's right, I forgot.
That sounds like a really bad joke that I'm trying to set up or something.
No, it's
that's
true.
The actual story.
Google it.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
You can't cancel me for this. This
Google
is an
it.
Actual thing that John Mech, a story that John Mechie has
I'm
told.
I'm telling
yeah.
people to Google it. I'm like, God, I hope this is on the internet somewhere. Good morning, Sean and Seth. I believe the best thing that is happening to Damian Pierce is when the Texans got Joe Mixon. I believe he is learning from watching Mixon, and I hope that this is the beginning of Damian Pierce improving his running game. Great show, as always. God bless.
Yeah, I think that Damian showed some progress on the zone runs, some of the zone runs where he saw the cutback, and he saw that there was a lane, and it might not look perfect, but I'm just going to get vertical, break some tackles and make something out of it. There were another couple times where it looked a little stodgy, and I don't think he was that crisp with the reads, but it's definitely something to build on. And the blocking could help out. I mean, they ran one inside zone where it was, and I did my thing where I'm like, all right, I got to send this out to my old cadre. I sent one to Wade Smith. I sent one to Drew Hodgson, to the old retired offensive lineman. I'm like, all right, am I wrong here, or does it look like Kenyon Green is doing something different from everybody else?
Yeah.
And they said, you're not wrong on that. It looks like you got three offensive linemen running outside zone, and then you've got a left guard. Or no, three offensive linemen running inside zone. You've got a left guard who's running outside zone. And then you've got a center who might be trying to run outside zone, but has really bad footwork in doing it. And then Damian made the wrong read, but it was also not made better by the fact that the center and the left guard were not doing the same thing the three veteran offensive linemen were doing.
My head hurts. That's It's a lot.
It's just a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go and watch some of the teams, watch Minnesota, watch the 49ers, watch the way their offensive line operate, and you don't have to be an expert on it. You can just see that the uniformity and movement and the attention to detail is not the same. So they've still got issues on the offensive line. Many people pointed out after the game, and it was a fair thing to point out. Yes, the Texans ran for 100 however many yards, and you average 7.5 yards per carry by your running backs in the game, and yet there were also a lot of stuffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of negative run plays, so it didn't tell the gross yardage didn't tell the whole story. They got to keep building on and fixing some things.
Agreed. As long as we're talking about things D'Amico said on Monday, and by the way, D'Amico is going to meet with the media this afternoon, as will C.J. Stroud. So we'll have some audio from both of those guys for you later on the station today, and we'll have some of it for you. I'm sure they'll say some good things that we'll hit tomorrow here on the show. The other thing, so we played D'Amico kind of downplaying the Kendrick Green thing. I would say of all the things that D'Amico said on Monday that came closest to maybe kind of kicking an ant pile a little bit was when he was asked about playing Jordan Love this coming Sunday.
Yeah, going against Jordan Love this week, he'll be the best quarterback we've seen this year. So it'll be a really, really tough matchup. Really good team. Green Bay has done a great job this year. Just, you know, they're explosive on offense, and they pose a lot of challenges, not only with Love, but the guys he's getting the ball to. Jaden Reed has done a great job of they do a great job moving him all around, whether he's getting the ball in the backfield or in the passing game. It's just an explosive offense. They run the ball well with Jacobs, just well-coached team. So we have our hands full, just as all week. But it'll be a really big-time matchup for us, and I know our guys are excited about it.
Really good breakdown. Made me appropriately nervous. Ben, play that very beginning part again right there.
Going against Jordan Love this week, he'll be the best quarterback we've seen this year.
There we go. How about that? I tweeted afterwards. I said, good to see D'Amico has Stephon Diggs back on this one, man.
Yeah.
It ain't Josh Allen. It's Jordan Love is the best quarterback.
If D'Amico might as well have said, I've seen what ails Buffalo, and it's their quarterback
yes,
play.
They got
can tell we've seen this up close and personal.
That's why they
had quarterback play that's the problem.
For
the
Amari
issue there.
Cooper, yeah.
I do think that, honestly, so far, I think he probably, in his mind, was thinking this is the best passing offense we've seen so far this year. If you look at, I mean, just by gross yardage, which isn't the best indicator, but the Packers are the only team above the Texans right now in terms of passing offense that they'll have faced so far. They're fourth-ranked passing offense.
Does Matt LaFleur get enough credit for the offensive mind that he is? And I say that because when he got to Green Bay in 2020, I think it was, Aaron Rodgers was declining when he got there. Aaron Rodgers proceeded to win two MVPs on Matt LaFleur's watch. And then they ship Aaron Rodgers out, and they seamlessly go to – I say seamlessly. I mean, they went 9-8 and won a playoff game. But that was above expectations for the Packers last year. And now they're considered certainly one of the top 10 teams in the sport, in large part because of this offense. It's now being built around another quarterback. And they don't have any weapons that are like – they got good weapons – but they don't have anything. I mean, Josh Jacobs might be the closest thing they have to somewhere you go, wow, that really pops. He led the league in rushing a couple years ago. Their wide receivers are really good. Jaden Reed's a good player. But there's nobody that's at that scary level of the guys that we've been talking about for, you know, like the types of guys that got traded yesterday, for example.
Yeah, I think LaFleur has always been a guy where they wonder, all right, is he an offensive coordinator or is he a head coach?
Mm-hmm.
And just exactly, is he does he command the entire team and direct the entire team? The defense is playing well this year too for the Packers. So I think he's respected as an offensive coordinator in mind, but people just, I guess, have questions about him as a head coach.
Yeah.
But he also, I mean, he was thrust into a situation where I think the organization at that point obviously was thinking that Aaron Rodgers was on the decline too. They draft Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And it wasn't awesome that first year. They won a bunch of games, but the offense wasn't really firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
It was that second year with Matt LaFleur where everything just took off. Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers had been a mediocre quarterback the previous year before Matt LaFleur got there.
Yeah.
He's the victim in all this.
Well,
Matt LaFleur,
I mean, it begs the. I do wonder, like, it's pretty impressive. Like, when we lay it out like that, like, you coached a two-time MVP aging who was in decline, and now you swap him out for a guy that you guys drafted in 2020, there's development with Jordan Love that went on while Aaron Rodgers is there. I mean, I think it's really impressive what they've done. I'll tell you what, with respect to Rodgers, it does make me think, like, okay, it's not like it's been just a constant wave of success with Rodgers through his latter years in the NFL. Like, Brady was good, like, forever. Like, Brady was good until he left. You know what I mean? Is the version of Aaron Rodgers that we're seeing right now more like the one we saw pre-LaFleur in 2018 and 2019, which would be great news for the Houston Texans in a couple of weeks?
You know? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll be watching the Jets eagerly. Do they have another primetime game?
They do. They play the Steelers on Ross is on
that
game, I think.
Sunday night?
Sunday night football, yeah.
Oh, Sunday's going to be a fun day.
It is.
We get Tony Romo and Jim Nance at noon for the Texans game. And then in the evening, we get the Jets upcoming opponent. This will be good.
Yep. I'm just double checking to make sure. Yeah, Jets, Steelers, Sunday Night Football, a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610, starring Ross Tucker.
Now, in terms of, so the Packers might be the best passing offense that the Texans have seen so far.
Yeah.
They've seen two better scoring offenses already than the Packers. The Vikings, the Bills, and the Packers are all third, fourth, fifth, sixth through eighth in scoring right now.
So
they've already, you know, and they did a good job versus the Bills. Not so hot versus the Vikings.
Yeah.
This will be another test, obviously.
I'm doing this without the benefit of having the Packers schedule in front of me so I can look at this. I'm just pointing out Malik Willis was the quarterback in a few of those games for the Packers. Again, I don't know what they did in those games. I'm just saying Malik Willis is their backup, and they, you know, it's point being the Packers offense is probably
operating with Jordan Love.
It's probably better than where they rank right now. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's circle back to Jerry Jones. Seth tried like crazy to have Nick Caserio get us fired earlier today because that's what the cool shows are doing. That's what the relevant shows are doing. They're almost.
If you're relevant, the GM of the team that you cover is threatening to have your
ass. Yes. You know the old saying, if the GM of the team you cover ain't trying to fire you, you ain't popping.
That's right.
That's how it goes. So we'll circle back to Jerry Jones. I actually think Jerry Jones' message yesterday, now that I've had a chance to listen to it, I think it was misunderstood.
And you're gonna do two things on this show. You're gonna defend Jerry Jones, and you're gonna cheer for the Yankees. That's Sean Pendergast.
That's
everybody.
Me. Yep.
That's not me.
That's me. And then in the final segment, why LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're giving away Tom Segura tickets in the next segment as well. So if you're a fan of Tom Segura and stand-up comedy, he's coming to NRG Arena next year in April. We're giving away tickets in the next segment. So stay tuned for that. So we'll get to Jerry Jones coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Jerry Jones got a little sideways with our sister station yesterday up in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. Sean and RJ, they're the morning show up there. Made a lot of headlines yesterday. Jerry Jones not liking getting asked about looking back at some of the things he didn't do this summer. I would submit, before we get to audio from their radio show, that the chippiness with Jerry probably started right after the game on Sunday. Again, a game they lost 47-9 to the Detroit Lions. They were run off the field. They were embarrassed in this football game. And Jerry Jones was asked afterwards in the media scrum if he's thought about making a coaching change in season with Mike McCarthy.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, I'm not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
The one thing I'm disappointed is that we couldn't see the reporter who was asking the question, Seth, when Jerry Jones posed the question, do you think I'm an idiot?
Do you?
Do you? I would love to see what the look on his face was if the guy's like, well, I don't know. You're really rich. I don't know.
Idiot can mean a lot of different things. Smart people do idiotic things.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
Jerry, you've said some things. Do I need to replay the glory hole soundbite?
Yeah.
You know, Jerry, yes, you'll say some idiotic things at times.
Yep. So he was chippy after the game and defensive.
Ben, can you pull up the glory hole thing at some point if you have it in the system?
So let's get to Jerry Jones on The Fan yesterday, 105.3 The Fan. Now, for those who don't know, he goes on weekly, twice on their station, Tuesday and Thursdays. Jerry loves the spotlight. And now it feels like with some of these answers, like you love the spotlight, but now the spotlight's burning a little bit. Sean and RJ were asking him about, I think, what a lot of people want to know, like why were you so light on moves this past summer to improve this team? They did a lot of run it back with this team. You know, they took forever to get CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott signed to contract extensions. So it was a very slow-moving summer for a summer that Jerry Jones said that the Cowboys are all in. So they were asking him about that, looking back at that, and he got very sensitive.
Now, don't tell me about should gotten a guy in the offseason.
Why not?
This isn't a damn word argument just because I'm not arguing with you. I'm dealing with how we line up against San Francisco, not what I did wrong last week or last month or 2 months ago or 2 years ago. If I really gave you guys a list of all the things I've done wrong over the last few years, you couldn't be on this program for the next 5 years steady and go over it. But every now and then, and you do some right things, and at the end of the day, you add it up, and the rights give you a better spot than the wrongs. But if you think for any minute right now, there'll be one Super Bowl champion. What'd the others do wrong? There's one Super Bowl champion, and we want to be that champion. And I'm sure not throwing the towel in today because of what happened out there Sunday. But I'm not going to sit here and waste a lot of energy, a lot of time. Let's talk about what I should have done back in 1907 or 2017. Come on. I've got more time than that, and I actually don't even have time on this great show for looking back at decisions.
Okay,
so yeah, I guess what's fair and what does he think are good questions when it comes to analyzing, okay, what happened in the past? And maybe, hey, have an opportunity to explain what you were thinking at that time when you made that decision. That's something you could do, Jerry, that the people would love to hear, or why you thought something might work out and it didn't.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's got raw nerves all over the place right now.
Yeah.
He's really defensive. He's really reeling and trying to figure out exactly what the hell do I do with this team that looked like they wanted anything else than to be on the field against Detroit the other night.
That's the biggest thing. You brought this up earlier, and the more I think about it, that's the more I thought about it, and then listening to that cut again where Jerry says, I'm not throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, okay, you're the owner. There's very little in the GM. There's very little you can do to impact the product on the field the next Sunday that you play. They're on a bye this week, and then they play the 49ers. There's very little you can do. The people that are going to control this are the coaches and the players. So how confident are you in those people to back up the checks that your mouth is cashing right now? Those guys look like they didn't want to play for Mike McCarthy on Sunday. That would be the most harrowing thing for me if I were Jerry Jones, is I'm sitting here saying I'm not throwing in the towel about a team that looked like they were throwing in the towel on Sunday.
And it wasn't just, I mean, and Cowboys fans know this. They're not all idiots. But it wasn't just the defense. Yeah, the defense was missing five or six starters, whatever the number was. The offense just completely laid an egg. Their first two trips down into the red zone, they came away with 3 points. They were punted. They were three and out after three and out. When you're on a team that's got injuries on defense and you go out and go three and out, three and out, three and out, and you're playing a good team, you're
good
screwed.
Team.
You're screwed. So it was an offensive and defensive effort in botching that the other night. It was really bad.
Yeah, this is some more chippiness here. Jerry screaming, What's your point?
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years, okay? Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
I mean, that's a great cut right there. What's your point? And they're trying to explain their point, and he doesn't let them get the answer out.
The funniest thing is that Jerry Jones, at various times in defending himself, is all too happy to point out the greatness of the Cowboys franchise and the things they've accomplished. And I don't think he understands that it's been 30 years.
No.
I think if you're never looking in the rearview mirror and you always just want to be focused on straight ahead, like, all right, well, you do bring up the past quite a bit. Do you realize it's 30 years in the past?
Yep.
Like he said, only one team's going to win the Super Bowl every year. Okay, well, you're coming up on when statistically you should have won one at some point. 32 years.
yeah.
And there
point.
Weren't 32 teams in the league that entire time either.
No.
So the 1 out of 30 dynamic, you're coming up on, all right, statistically, you should have won something by this point.
Yep.
Or at least made it to the semifinals.
Right.
He hasn't made it back to the semifinals.
They made it to a conference title game. That's right. This is the cut that got everybody talking yesterday from Jerry Jones, where it was interpreted as him threatening the jobs of the two radio hosts.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay? Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Okay, so that was Jerry.
So the way that people interpreted that was he was threatening to get those guys fired.
Correct.
Almost
universally, people interpret it that way.
You've got a different interpretation.
Yeah, I thought this when I saw the quote and then heard the quote, and I still think this now, is that I thought he was just threatening to move his show to another station, to another day part. He's on with the morning guys. He's like, I'll find other people to answer to answer these questions. Well, he's got a his football team has a relationship with that station. So he's not going over to the Ticket and doing interviews, I don't think. The other big station in town. He's doing them, probably contractually obligated to do them on 105.3 The Fan. And I just interpret it as I'll do my show twice a week with the midday guys. I didn't interpret that as him, I'm going to go get Sean and RJ fired.
This is where I'm wondering with Sean and RJ, because I feel like they might have missed it on a golden opportunity to get legend status. Like in my life, maybe this is right, maybe this is wrong. It's worked out for me the several times I've. Whenever somebody makes a vague hint about possibly firing me or something, my immediate response is, you can do that. Like, I don't, that's fine. Now, the way you frame it depends on the situation. Is like, but you, as soon as they pull that card out and try to act like, hey, I'll get you fired, the immediate response should be, do it. Just do it. Because I don't care. But you got to genuinely not care.
Right.
Like, you got to genuinely not care. That's where, same way as in any negotiation, you're unless you're at a spot where you can walk away from the negotiation and be fine, you're not in a good spot in
That's right.
So you have to go into the negotiation saying, like, yeah, I'm perfectly willing to walk away from this deal. That's likewise, right. When somebody threatens your job, invite them to do it. Because you go, oh, big man, big billionaire, you're going to scare me? You're going to think I'm going to be out on the streets? If oh, no, precious Jerry's not going to, ooh, you're not going to let me have my job. Oh, you tell him, fire me, Jerry, big man, fire me, do it.
The fun thing about that for us personally.
I mean, don't phrase it like that.
Well, the Sean and RJ's boss is our old boss,
Gavin,
here in Houston. Yeah, Gavin Spittle. He's the boss up in Dallas now.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I haven't talked or texted with Gavin. I would love to know what he thinks about what transpired on his station yesterday.
Well, he's a wrestling aficionado,
he is
too, right?
Big
the
time.
Good storyline would be to go like Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Mr. McMahon, right?
Yes. Oh,
like, just go ahead and be the guy. Stick up for the average man who's trying to get bullied by some billionaire.
That's what worked, man. That's what made him so popular. He's the guy that actually hits his boss.
Yes, yeah. He does what everybody wants
it's
to
exactly
do.
That's exactly it, man. We live vicariously through this guy. All right, so there you go. That was Jerry Jones yesterday. Hey, let's give away some Tom Segura tickets right now. Seth, are you still working on getting fired this week so you can win these tickets by Friday? You can't win
them. No, I've decided that it probably makes more financial sense for me to buy tickets instead
of keep your job.
Getting fired so I can be eligible to possibly win a contest that I don't have a good chance of winning. Yes.
Right. Those are good analytics by you right there.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's give them away here. Tom Segura tickets. Call now, 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 is going to win the tickets to see comedian Tom Segura live, NRG Arena, April the 5th. And we're doing this all week long. Today's Wednesday, so you got two more cracks at it here on this show to win tickets to see Tom Segura. So stay tuned to Sports Radio 610 all week long. Seth mentioned it earlier. I am... Yes, I took up for Jerry Jones in this segment. I am also rooting for the New York Yankees against the Cleveland Guardians. I gave one good reason why.
Mm-hmm.
There was a second good reason that popped up in my head last night, and it has to do with the Houston Astros.
Okay, why Astros fans should be cheering for the Yankees to go to the ALCS?
Alongside me. Well, to go to the World Series. They're in the ALCS already.
I mean, to win the ALCS.
Yes, I'm going to give Astro fans a very... good reason, and I'll give it to you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Yankees lead the Guardians 2-0 in the ALCS. They head back to Cleveland now for 3 games. If necessary, they'll head back to New York for games 6 and 7. Meanwhile, in the NL, they're tied at 1, the Dodgers and the Mets. I'm rooting hard for the Mets in that one because I find the Dodgers and their fans to be deplorable human beings that will not turn the page on the sign-stealing scandal, more than any other fan base.
Yeah, not to generalize or anything, but at least 97% of them.
At least 97% by my calculations. So, put the NL aside. The AL is why we're here. So I've said a couple times this week that I'm rooting for the Yankees, and people have been aghast at that. Why would you do that? They're the evil empire. They're horrible. They're the Yankees. I understand all that. I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying I'm rooting for the Yankees, and... I had one main reason, but as I was watching the game last night, a second reason dawned on me. As I was dealing with this void, this chasm in my heart of not having the Astros around this October to watch play baseball, I had a second reason. Now, my first reason was a simple one. I can deal with Yankee fans being Yankee fans, and I don't think they're going to be any more or less Yankee fan-ish, whether they win or lose a World Series. It's a little like the Patriots back in the day. Like, what's the difference? They win six, they win eight. Who cares? They're obnoxious, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
And this may be very personal. Like, Cleveland is a city that I've got quasi-beef with a little bit, going back to my national show on CBS. And in general, like, I just don't need another hot new team popping up here to deal with their fans. I can deal with Yankee fans. I don't feel like dealing with Cleveland fans being happy. I've enjoyed very much watching Cleveland wallow in the misery of Deshaun Watson, and I want them. I don't need them to have a salve on that wound from their baseball team.
You're going with a lesser evil strategy.
A little bit.
You're just okay. I've got two unsavory options here. I'll take the one that I already know and am familiar with.
The devil I know. Yeah. Now the second reason, and see if you feel me on this one. I would imagine the Yankees outside of New York are largely hated by everybody. I would imagine most of America is rooting for Cleveland.
Yeah.
In this series, because they hate the Yankees. I want people to appreciate the Astros a little bit here. I want people to stop talking about, oh, they bang trash cans and things like that. For all of you out there that are not Astro fans that might be listening to this, that are hoping that the Cleveland Guardians can handle this bit of business of getting rid of the Yankees, which they're handling horribly right now. They're handling it very, very poorly. Perhaps, maybe through the Yankees plowing through Cleveland, you'll gain a greater appreciation for the team that did your dirty work four times in the last decade for you people who hate the Yankees out there. 2015, yeah. 2017, 2019.
That's right.
2022.
Uh-huh.
Offset by no losses to the Yankees in the postseason by the Astros. If you hate the Yankees, the Astros have been your best friend the last several Octobers. Maybe you'll appreciate us a little bit more if you send in a tomato can like Cleveland to go do the dirty work that the Astros used to do for you all these many years.
Right, and that's not even, I mean, that's from 2017. Did you mention the 2015?
I did. Yeah.
I think that you're right. I think the Astros deserve, and I know this is the way it always works out in the public eye. People go back and they think, hey, you know what? Maybe we were a little too tough on them. And exactly. Let's celebrate that 2017 Astros World Series more so the all the various ALCSs in which they vanquished the Yankees.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's celebrate the fact that you need good teams to do the dirty work. I mean, did you see, I don't know if you saw the clip from over the weekend? I mean, Jeter and A-Rod were basically laughing about the path that the Yankees have to get to the World Series. Like, they were openly mocking the teams that the Yankees needed to get through to get to the World Series. They're like, this is the easiest path anybody's had in 20 years.
Was Jeter doing it kind of like in a withholding praise type of way or not?
It was more A-Rod than Jeter. Jeter acknowledged like it would be like the Yankees should make the World Series here. Like all you have to do is go through. I forget who the Yankees played in the Kansas City. They played Kansas City and then Cleveland to get to the World Series. A-Rod was completely dismissive. He's like, this is the easiest path any team's had in 20 years, or that the Yankees have had at least in 20 years, which was funny because 20 years ago, the Yankees lost in cataclysmic fashion to the Boston Red Sox, coughing up an 0-3, or coughing up a 3-0 lead, and he was sitting right next to Big Poppy, who was on that team. That was pretty funny.
Remember the Yankee sports psychologist tried to, as a motivational ploy, to use against the Astros when the Yankees were down, brought up the fact that you're never down and out, and then he brought up that Red Sox game, or that Red Sox series.
Yeah,
that didn't sit well with
Yankees. The Yankees got swept. got swept. So, anyways, so does my second reason hold water that maybe people will appreciate the Astros a little bit more and the service that they did to baseball in dispatching of the Yankees so easily?
I don't think so, Sean. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
No.
I think people are pretty resolute just based on accusations that are still thrown out that are baseless, that most people are pretty set in their ways on how they feel about the Astros right now.
Okay. I thought people might be able to change. Rocky said
AJ Hinch was the one that I think that AJ Hinch might end up being the only person who ultimately gets like redemption in the public eye.
Yeah.
It felt like that, at least from baseball media people. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of people like, well, yeah, but I think there was a thought that, okay, he's going on and doing this in a different organization.
I think it helped AJ that he was, A, he was managing against the Astros. I think that helped. And B, he was managing the ultimate Cinderella team. I mean, they're out there. They've got Tarik Skubal and then openers in every game. You know what I mean? So I think that helped. I think the team he was managing helped AJ.
If AJ makes it to a World Series with that team at some point, then that's where it might get interesting, the discourse around it.
I agree.
See how people feel about it.
Yep, I agree. I think people generally like AJ Hinch too. He's a likable person. You know, like there's I think there's something for guys like, you know, Alex Bregman.
Bregman's a guy. You know what? Somebody gave an answer the other day. Oh, it was Damian. Somebody had asked Damian Pierce about Joe Mixon's confidence or his attitude, and Damian said, you know, I think some people might think it's cocky, but when it's, you know, people that aren't confident themselves see genuine confidence, sometimes they interpret that as cockiness. And it got me thinking about, okay, who are the athletes that people think are arrogant but are just confident? I think Bregman might be that guy. Bregman, because he's so kind of monotone and everything, and because he is genuinely confident, I think sometimes people interpret that as him being a jerk when it's in fact just him just kind of being a very even-keeled dude who's also very confident.
Yeah. Back to Jerry Jones in the previous segment. Someone texted in. My theory on Jerry Jones telling Sean and RJ up in Dallas said he'll, quote, find someone else to ask him these questions in an interview, which a lot of people interpreted as Jerry threatening to fire them, and I interpreted it as Jerry saying, I'll go to a different show on the station here. Text message, I don't know, seem to be threatening their jobs to me. You're not alone. I am in the minority on this one, I think.
The only thing I know is just understand the dynamic. This is not the first time he's gotten chippy with these guys. Yeah. It's happened plenty of times before. And I think Jerry very much understands that not all publicity is good publicity, but it's damn near close. Mm-hmm. Like Jerry is all about, he doesn't mind saying things that sometimes don't make sense as long as they get clicks and views.
Yep.
So that's where I know. I agree with you. I think what he was really saying was, I'll go on a different day part or I'll go with different guys. I think he's totally cool with people talking smack about his team. Those guys have talked all kinds of smack about that team for a long time.
Yep. Someone says, the Yankees win, it builds our legacy. We're not losing to them. Screw the Dodgers. I'm with you. The Dodgers are at the very bottom of the list of teams I want to win this thing this postseason.
That's true. You know what? As far as the legacy or anything else like that, you want as few teams even having a chance at multiple World Series over the course of the series. Because in this new day and age, it's harder and harder to have a dynasty these days. So the definition of it has changed. I would say, keep the Yankees out of the discussion.
And I still want the Dodgers' only World Series of this era to be the COVID World Series.
The COVID one,
the asterisk World Series. That's a bigger asterisk than the garbage cans.
I know you get a lot of joy out of tweeting out about the asterisks that the only invalid World Series championship is the Dodgers asterisk championship. Yeah. You love all these Dodgers fans thinking they're educating you by pointing out 2017.
I love people hating me more than you would think. Yes. Yeah. Including Dodger fans. So, that's a good one right there. I gotta float my reasons by Reggie Atitula and John Lopez here and see if they agree. Because if it's a Yankee Dodger World Series, what are you rooting for? An asteroid? Or are you like a meteor shower?
That's like injuries.
Yeah.
Yankees Dodgers World Series. Yeah. That's a tough one, Sean. I'd have to pull for the Yankees.
Yeah, Yankees for me, man. The Dodger fans are the worst. They're the worst. And so are the Dodgers, and so is Dave Roberts.
Plus, so is anything to make the AL look stronger, it ends
there
up
you,
benefiting the Astros.
There you go.
If they,
SEC. SEC.
American
it just
League.
Needs more.
American
A-L. So as we welcome John Lopez and Reginald Atitula in here, in the loop, they get going here in about 4 minutes. I don't know if you guys heard
I'm
going
to make you mad. Okay, go ahead.
Well, what? I said yesterday that I'm rooting for the Yankees. And the main reason was I just don't need another team winning a world. I don't need another fan base. I can deal with the Yankees whether or not they win a world. They're obnoxious either way.
Yeah.
I don't need Clevelanders all of a sudden rising from the ashes of Deshaun Watson to win a World Series. Stay miserable. But my second reason, which I thought of last night and conveyed to Seth just now, is that maybe there will be a greater appreciation for the Astros and the role they played for Yankee haters over the last several years. They were the exterminator for the insects that were the New York Yankees. And maybe the fact that everybody who hates the Yankees has to now watch them plow through the Cleveland Guardians, like the you know, the Germans marching through the Champs-Élysées back in the day, maybe they'll gain a greater appreciation for the Astros, who are undefeated in the postseason against the New York Yankees in their history. 15, 17, 19, and 22. So that's why. I want people to appreciate the Astros more by watching the Yankees move on.
Those are sound reasons that will never happen.
Okay. That sucks.
Because, I mean, come on. No one's ever going to do that.
Guy can dream.
Guy can dream. And like I said, they're very sound. You laid it out perfectly well.
Yeah.
And I have already alienated a bunch of people because I despise the Dodgers.
Yeah, I do too. We're all on the same page.
I despise the Dodgers. Well, I'm not done yet.
Recognize the butt is coming.
I'm not done yet. I hate Dodgers fans. I think they're worse than Philadelphia. I think they're the worst fans in baseball.
I'm agreeing with everything you're laying down right now.
I'm pulling for Otani. I'm an Otani guy.
Okay. I don't want to be pulled into hate on Otani.
I'm an Otani guy. I want to see him get hits. He deserves it.
Yeah, poor 90s
After everything
guy.
He did with the Angels.
And giving out his bank information to his interpreter.
You know, outside of the multi-million dollar gambling scandal, he's a hell of a guy.
Yeah, real bad for the guy. Yeah, you know, that's just...
I believed Otani from the get-go on that one, by the way.
You were team
Otani.
I did.
I was like, from the very beginning, like, I know exactly
I'm conflicted, Seth. I'm conflicted, but I want that guy to get one.
You do? Yeah. I wanted him to get suspended for gambling. I did. That's a bigger story. It's a better radio story than him winning a World Series. So you are rooting for the Dodgers because of Otani, and that
I'm rooting for the player.
Yeah, okay, but
who happens to wear a Dodgers?
Yeah. How do you feel about this?
I just want good baseball.
Oh, like, that's
100%. I know. I'm that jerk. I am. No, but I think you make a good point in that Dodgers fans have been
they're awful.
Obnoxious feels like too light of a word in that regard when
they
it comes
kill
to like not turning the page.
That's the big thing. They're violent people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them.
You're not allowed to be a Dodgers fan until you shiv a stranger.
That's right. That's the indoctrination.
I wasn't aware.
You walk down, they point a stranger on the street and you got to go stab him.
It's your guy right there.
Yeah, but I mean, I in this instance, there aren't good options, as you guys have detailed.
No, they're all
and so
bad,
at that point, rooting for me is rooting for at least let the product be good.
Okay, yeah,
you
I
know
just
what
want
mean?
To sit down. You're watching it episodically.
He just wants everyone to have a good time.
I ain't say all that. That's not what I said.
He thinks baseball has a good personality.
I am in it for the personality.
Hey John.
The big old butts.
Yeah.
Judge, there's a random question that came into my head, you're the perfect person to ask, about a minute before you came into the studio. Look, the word asterisk, since you're the grammarian here, and I know you're going to criticize me, but I'm tired of trying to say asterisks, especially plural. So, like, I'll never say nuclear, okay? I'll always say nuclear. But can I get away with just saying asterisks? It's just so much easier.
I think you can. I think there's a certain
mild surprise.
A mild surprise, but I think there's a certain amount of acceptance.
Yeah.
Like it just sounds awkward. It's bulky when you say asterisks.
Asterisks.
Yeah.
And I go, and it's like, it's been decades now that every single time I try to say the word in my mind, I can't remember what the accurate one is.
Yeah.
So I just, and then I really fumble. I'm just going to start saying asterisks.
It's like when people say the plural of my name. They say Lopez is. It just sounds awkward.
Yeah.
I'm good with Lopez apostrophe.
Just say whatever, man. Like, don't even ask for permission, Seth. Just say whatever. As long as they understand what you mean, it's cool. And I say that as someone who is annoying about these things at times.
Yeah, but I don't. Well, I mean, John's kind of a stickler about this.
I am.
Tell him where to shove it.
It's a fatal flaw.
You let your mispronunciation flag fly, Seth.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and asterisks.
I knew it was coming. All right, we're done. We're out of time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.